Last week, we began a conversation about story, but not just any story, your story. And we said that everyone in this room and everyone in our home and everyone in our community has one thing in common. When it comes to our life story, we all want a good one. And more specifically, whether we'd say it this way or not, we all want a happy one. No one walks around hoping for an unhappy story because deep down, we all believe the more happiness we have, the better our life story will be. Now, we could probably list out several things that stand in the way of our happiness, but there's one in particular I think we could all agree on. Fear. I recently read a magazine article that talked about how Americans are more fearful today than we've ever been in history. It seems we're afraid of everything. Terrorism, politics, national debt, germs, kids riding bikes without helmets. The list seems endless. And according to this article, over 50% of our population deals with consistent and even constant fear. Fear has become one of the biggest issues in our culture. But why is that? Well, for most of us, it comes down to one word: circumstances. We live in a culture where our happiness is deeply connected to our circumstances, our situations in life. Think about it. In your own life, what would make you happy right now? I'm guessing the answer has to do with your job, your school, your family life, your finances, or your health. And what has the greatest potential to make you unhappy right now? Same answer, right? Our circumstances and our happiness are almost always connected. Maybe that's why some of us are afraid that our circumstances will change. Maybe you finally made it into your boss's favor. Maybe you're in a dating relationship where things are going well and you finally married the one. Maybe your kids are on the right track and you're really happy about that. But isn't it true that when things are going our way, there's always a voice in the back of our minds asking, nagging, and maybe even scaring us with this question: what if this changes? Now, on the other hand, some of us are afraid our circumstances won't change. Maybe for you, things aren't going so well with your spouse, or you can't seem to find a spouse, or your financial situation keeps you up at night, or your kid isn't making the best decisions, or you can't seem to get traction in your career. We've all been in a place where we wished our circumstances were different. And when that happens, we find ourselves asking, what if this never changes? Either way, we all want the same outcome. We all want good circumstances so we can be happy and our lives can tell a better story. But what other options do we have? If we want to have a good life story, don't our circumstances have to line up to make that happen? And it isn't just our happiness at stake. For every one of us, there's a strong and often complicated connection between our circumstances and our faith. Now, whether you consider yourself a Christian or not, when things go your way, it's easier to think that there is a God, or that prayer works, or that God is good. But the problem with that thinking is that the opposite is also true. When things don't go our way, our faith can get deflated, leaving us to conclude that God isn't there, or doesn't care, or maybe isn't as good as we thought. Last week, we began talking about the story Jesus wants us to have. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Another translation puts it this way: "My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." This verse sounds like such good news when it comes to our circumstances, because experience has taught us that we have very little control over our circumstances in life. And if Jesus came so we could have rich and satisfying life, doesn't that mean he will just arrange things to go our way? But at the same time, if we're honest, something about that idea bothers us too. The idea that following Jesus means he will always ensure that everything goes our way, that our lives will be happy and healthy, and that our circumstances will always be good. Because while that idea sounds fantastic, it raises a question in us. Because we've all known someone for whom that wasn't true. We've all known Jesus followers who didn't have great circumstances. We've all known Christians in a tough situation. We've all met people who fell on some really painful or difficult circumstances, even though they seemed to be doing all the right things. So what did Jesus mean when he said that we could have a full, rich, and satisfying life? Is that kind of life even possible when our circumstances don't seem to line up? Well, it probably won't surprise you that we aren't the first culture to face this struggle. Thousands of years ago, the first century was no easy place to live. Actually, in many places, it was a downright scary place to live, especially as a Jesus follower. Christians in the first century were often persecuted relentlessly because of their faith. Every day they faced the possibility of beatings, imprisonment, and even death because of their allegiance to Jesus. And the Apostle Paul's life was no different. If anyone had reason to let his emotions be dictated by circumstances, to live in fear because of what he was facing, it was Paul. But in a letter he wrote to a group of believers, Paul said something that I think was a game changer for them. And it has the potential to change the way we see our own situation as well. He wrote this: "In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We've been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. We serve God whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We are honest, but they call us imposters. We are ignored even though we are well known. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten, but we have not been killed." Paul laid out what many of us would consider the worst possible circumstances and the worst possible scenarios. He described having to endure troubles and hardships of every kind. He said he'd endured being beaten, put in prison, and angry mobs. It would be hard to imagine more difficult or more fearful circumstances, and yet, despite his experiences, despite what he already endured and what he was likely to endure more of, Paul said the most incredible thing in the very next verse. "Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything." Given the situations Paul described, those sentences almost seem like a typo. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine being able to say those words despite being in the middle of the worst circumstances? Can you imagine that attitude being your reality when things are going well and when you're right in the middle of a tough situation at work, a painful time in your marriage, a difficult season with your kids, a scary situation with your health, a lonely time in your life? Paul had joy in spite of everything he was facing, financially, personally, professionally, physically. How is that even possible? Paul told us. He didn't say he had happiness. He had joy. Now, you might be asking yourself, aren't happiness and joy the same thing? Well, not exactly. Unlike happiness, joy doesn't depend on circumstances. Joy transcends circumstances. It exists apart from them. Even in spite of them, joy, unlike happiness, doesn't evaporate when life takes a curve, which is why it's so much more powerful than happiness. So where does this leave us? For some of you, the struggle may feel as deep as Paul's, life or death. For others of you, you have problems, but they aren't necessarily overwhelming. But regardless, your faith is connected to your perspective. Maybe that's because when it comes to our circumstances, we feel so out of control. Sure, we can make certain choices that affect our outcomes in life, but for so many situations, for so many of our circumstances, it isn't up to us. You lost your job because of the economy. You had no control over a miscarriage. You can't make your teenager choose a different path. There's so many things that are out of your control, and they may cause you to feel fear or lack of peace. Maybe that's why, more than anything else, our circumstances have the ability to really mess with our faith. Now, whether you're a Christian or not, when our circumstances turn bad, we all have a knee-jerk reaction to distrust God. When our circumstances are good, it isn't really an issue, but when things turn sour or when we worry they will, we all have a tendency to ask questions inwardly, tough questions about whether God is with us, and maybe more importantly, whether God is for us. Whether he can be trusted with my story and your story. And I think this is where Paul understood something about God we may have missed. Having met Jesus face to face, Paul knew that the best way to know what God was really like was to look at Jesus. And Jesus' love was so great that he was willing to die for Paul and for you and for me. So, why can you find joy when things are hard? Because when someone is willing to die for you, you can know that they are for you. When someone gives up their life, you can trust that they love you. And because of what Jesus did, Paul knew that God could be trusted always. Now, for some of us, that's exactly what we need to hear today, that God is for us, whether or not our circumstances line up the way we want them to. And like Paul, it doesn't necessarily mean your circumstances will change. It doesn't mean they'll turn out how you want or stay the way you want. But it does mean you can have unshakable joy and unshakable peace in the middle of them. So what are you focused on today? What circumstance or situation or relationship is taking up all the space in your brain right now? We all have one. Now, what would it look like for you to keep your eyes on Jesus and trust God with that circumstance? How would trusting God change the way you think? How would trusting God change the way you interact with others? How much less stress and how much more joy would you have if you could begin to change your focus and trust God? To find joy, change where you put your focus. Rather than focusing on the unknown, focus on what you do know. This week, I want to challenge you to try something new. Start your day in prayer, not just by asking God for what you need, but also remembering how He has helped you in the past. As you talk with Him, thank Him for His promised presence and trust that He loves you and is for you. That's what Jesus was talking about when He said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus wasn't talking about an easy life or an always happy life. He was talking about a joy-filled life, one that despite changing circumstances and even in the middle of hard circumstances, is rich and full and good. Life going one way or another can cause us to forget who God is, what He has done, and what He has promised. Difficult circumstances will always tempt us to take our eyes off Jesus, to question Him, to keep our eyes on what's wrong with our circumstances, or to keep us living in fear of what could go wrong in our story. And so we need reminding of what is really true. We need to remember that God is for us and that He loves us. When we do, we'll find permanent and lasting joy regardless of the circumstances we're living in. And joy writes a better story than happiness ever could. Imagine for a second if we all did this. Imagine if you and I had our minds so focused on Jesus that our circumstances didn't keep us in fear. How would it affect our spouses if our situations at work, while tough, didn't have the power to change our joy at home? What would it do for our kids if they saw a mom and a dad who had unshakable joy and steady peace even in life's disappointments? What would happen if the world around us began to notice that we, the Jesus followers, aren't people who claim the sky is falling every time the political or social or cultural climate changes? What if instead the world saw us as people who are joyful in every circumstance? I think it would change the way they see us, and maybe even the way they see God. And maybe it could inspire those around us to trust Him with the story of their lives as well.